In today's business news, we'll focus on making decisions under pressure.
Morning Edition begins a new series today on how we make decisions. Business managers try to master the art of deciding, and business books try to teach them. One recent bestseller suggests that wise crowds make better choices than the experts, while another argues that most of us can make good decisions in the blink of an eye. In the next 3 days, we'll hear from leaders in medicine, sports, and business about how they make choices critical to their jobs.
This morning, a brain surgeon walks us through the difficult decisions he makes. Ben Carson is director of the Division of Pediatric Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. As a young surgeon, he made headlines when his team separated a pair of Siamese twins who were connected at the head. Both babies lived. It was a first. 2 years ago, Dr. Carson joined the medical team that separated 29-year-old Iranian twins joined at the head. Both Ladan and Layla Bijani died after the surgery. Ben Carson explains why, in spite of his doubts, he agreed to help operate.
They were intensely interested in being separated. They both had law degrees. They were way outside of the norm in terms of people who understood where they wanted to go and had informed consent. Nevertheless, the complexity of their situation dictated to me in my normal decision-making process that the likelihood of success would be no greater than 50%, and that that was too high of risk. Usually when we're looking at risk of 10% or more, we're thinking that that's too high.
And the risk 50-50 of living or dying.
Correct. That's the reason that initially I was not enthusiastic and discouraged at being done. Once it became clear that they were going to proceed with surgery, whether I helped or not, then I felt an obligation to help because I'd had a fair amount of experience with this, and if things had not come out well, I would have felt very guilty for not at least having helped with the effort.
So you didn't go through your regular decision-making.
Right.
Was some of that also emotional, though, because these young women were very compelling, Lale and Ladan?
Well, I must admit that I liked them a great deal. They had terrific personalities. They had a sense of humor. They had learned to speak English in only 7 months. Does that impact upon one's decision-making? Absolutely. And one of the things that they said is that they'd rather die than continue living in that fashion.
So mostly your decisions get made based on a certain set of factors that you can...
Right. Most of the times I'm going to ask myself, what's the best thing that happens if I do something? What's the worst thing that happens if I do something? What's the best thing that happens if I do nothing? What's the worst thing that happens when I do nothing? And when I answer those four questions, and I also go through those four questions with the patient or with their parents, everybody has a very clear understanding.
Let's talk about decisions you make that would be under so much pressure that I'm guessing you wouldn't be able to run through a checklist in your mind. Those would be ones inside the operating room while you're operating.
Now, in those situations, your decision-making is going to be based on your previous experiences. And what you have to be able, I think, do is separate the emotion of having had a recent failure or even an unusual triumph. You have to be able to separate those things out.
How much of this is logic, and how much of it is, in a sense, trusting your gut?
First of all, when you talk about trusting your gut, a lot of people think of that in a negative sense. But, you know, our subconscious is extraordinarily powerful and has the ability to draw on our lifetime of experience. What we may be talking about here is wisdom. And that's not something that can be taught. I personally believe it comes from a higher source. Some people have 3 PhDs behind their name, but don't have it. Other people have no letters behind their names and have it in spades. I think that has a lot to do with success that people have.
You have had in your career some great triumphs. Can you give us an example of a time when you were thrilled that it worked out, but knew that more work needed to be done, or you wouldn't necessarily do that the next time?
Certainly, you know, on the theme of conjoined twins, a set of twins that we did in South Africa, that was a 28-hour operation. We didn't have anywhere near the technology that we've had for some of the others that I've been involved in, and they were very, very complex.
And this was when?
This was done in December of 1997, but I recognized that there was a considerable amount of luck on our side to be able to separate all of those vessels. At one point, it looked like we were going to have to stop because the vessels were so complex, and it just looked like there was no way through them. But fortunately, it worked out.
Now, the kind of decision-making that you do as a brain surgeon, is that unique to your craft? Can that be transferred to decision-making in other fields?
I think the decision-making in the operating room is very easily transferable. In medicine, you're really taught to take facts and to try to use those in a logical fashion. Sometimes people say to me, you know, you're a brain surgeon, so, you know, why do you sit on the board of major corporations in America? Why are you running a scholarship fund? Why are you doing this and that and the other? And my answer to them is, who is called upon to make decisions that have such life-impacting effects? So why do you have to confine all that to the operating room? You know, if you go back to the first Continental Congress, there were a large number of health professionals involved in the decision-making policies which crafted our nation. And now they're relatively few because we've tended to isolate ourselves into our own arena. I think that's a big mistake.
Dr. Carson, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks very much.
Ben Carson is director of the Division of Pediatric Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. Tomorrow we'll talk to a baseball executive about how he puts a winning team on the field. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.